Hi, welcome to GamerCast episode 145. I'm Adam.
And I'm Paul. And this is GamerCast for the 22nd of February 2009.
What more can I say? Too delicious.
Yeah, that's it, really. We'll be back next week.
With more exciting news.
Now, let's just do a couple of letters. Foulclaw says, this is a bit sort of weird. He says, okay, who do you think would win in a fight? Gary Coleman or Frodo Baggins?
Right, from a noobness, who's Gary Coleman?
He's that little dude. Little guy. Adam doesn't know who he is. He's that little black guy.
Oh, him, yeah. As soon as you said that, he's on Sesame Street.
And he spelled Coleman wrong, didn't he? Well, he spelled Gary wrong. He had two G's in it. This dude.
Right, yeah.
4 foot 8 inches, which is 1.42 meters. Yeah, there he is, being a noob.
Yeah.
So who would win, him or Frodo Baggins? Oh, let's see if Wikipedia says how tall Frodo Baggins is. Frodo Baggins. Nope, it says about his uncle's whatever birthday. No, there's no estimates on his height, unfortunately. Although I'm sure all the fanboys have some estimates for it. Oh my god, oh my god. Look at these noobs.
It is quite
So who would
short.
Win?
Well,
obviously he's a hobbit.
Yeah, I'd say he's smaller than Gary.
But let's face it, he like practically defeated the armies of Mordor and all of that sort of stuff by hiding and sneaking through them.
Well, he has a sword. He has the
a
ring
sword
of power,
which glows.
Ring of power.
Gary Coleman doesn't have that.
He is shorter. But look, even any of the hobbits did do well in hand-to-hand combat with a sword. So I think Frodo Baggins has a distinct advantage. But if we were just saying hand-to-hand, I don't know. I think Gary would just give Frodo a good clip round the ear and just slap him to the floor because he'd have a great weighted advantage because he has probably got the weight of a normal average human being. He's just only 4 foot. So he's just a short guy.
Well, no, I wouldn't imagine he's just as heavy as like somebody.
I imagine Frodo would probably come up to my hip. So he must be like...
Yeah, Lord of the Rings fans, can you give us, like, what's the average height of a hobbit?
I'm thinking it's around about 3.5 foot. I'm sure it says somewhere in the book. I have a vague recollection of
a reference of it in the book on here.
Why don't you type in hobbit? Yeah, hobbits.
I'll spell it right for a start. Hobbit.
There's appearance.
In the prologue to... Shut up, I'm reading the whole thing. In the prologue to The Lord of the Rings, Mr. Tolkien said that hobbits are between 2 and 4 feet. That's 60 centimetres to 120 centimetres tall. The average height being 3 foot 6 inches, which is 1 metre.
Yeah, so a really lanky hobbit would... Just about.
So if it was a dwarf, you know, the dwarf would win because the dwarf has still got the weight behind him.
Oh god.
The dwarf would just go.
The shoulders on a dwarf, he can quite happily pick up a battle axe, he'd put it through an orc's head, cleaver it in half. So, yeah.
In general, I would go for Frodo Baggins. Fictional characters automatically have these abilities.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I suppose that's a bit more interesting than Robocop versus Terminator.
Yeah. Yeah. RoboCop versus Terminator, going through all of the 24 at the moment.
Oh god!
And we just finished watching 24 season 5, and Sarah's like, "Who is that guy?" And I went, "It's RoboCop," and she was like, "Oh my god, it is!" And one of the characters is the guy who played the original RoboCop, and she was doing this on the screen, going, putting her hand up so she could block out the top part of his face, and she was like, "Oh yeah, it is, isn't it?"
Okay. Right, Catherine also sends us a letter saying, tell everybody to buy Flower and Nobby Nobby Boy off PSN.
I've seen them advertised.
I assume that's pronounced Nobby and not Nobby.
Yeah.
I'll just say Nobby because it sounds
Nobby funny. Nobby is only just come out and Flower's been out for a while. They look quite good.
These are separate games, are they? I thought it was Flower and Nobby Nobby Boy.
Two separate games on PlayStation Network.
I thought the "and" was part of the title.
They seem to be pushing out a lot of
junk.
games that you can only download from PlayStation Network, and they're doing a lot for PSP as well. They seem to be pushing out a lot of games.
No, that's not surprising, that considering how dismal the PSP is.
Yeah, which we'll get onto shortly. It is quite cool. They do have some unique things on there. I must admit, the only things I've ever bought was Tekken 5, just for the whole I've got to beat him up so I can just go blurt and kick ass. But yeah, I don't know anything about them. They do give you a short reference of what they're about, but you can go onto the PlayStation 3 website, which is automatically favorited as your homepage when you go onto your Explorer on PlayStation 3. So you could easily, instead of trying to read the really short ad lib of what the game's about, you could go read a review online or wherever. But I haven't really looked into them because it involves me spending money. I could go out and spend that money on a top title instead of loads and loads and loads and loads of PlayStation
Just
Network
by the
titles.
Sega new Super Ultra Mega Epic Collection or whatever it's called.
Oh my god, how many games are on that? That is the ultimate Sega fanboy wet dream there. You'd just be able to go back and relive all those moments.
Dude, I do anyway. I've got emulators.
I know.
Right, let's move on to Dawn of War 2.
Yep.
What's your review of it then, Adam?
Yes, I know. I had enough money.
This review you promised us.
I had enough money to buy it, and I spent it on a new scanner because my scanner's popped and I needed a new Epson scanner to scan my drawings in for doing artwork on.
Can you just take a picture of them?
No. So I bought that. So I didn't get Dawn of War. I have heard from Gary. He's got it, and he was telling
Gary Coleman. Oh my god.
Yeah. No. Gary Smith. Someone I work with.
Hey, someone I used to work with.
Yeah,
as well.
we've all worked with him before. He had the day off. It was quite funny. He took the day off because his girlfriend took the day off. His girlfriend took the day off for the release of Sims 3, which got put back a couple of months. So she still had the day off, and he decided, because he took the day off, he wouldn't cancel it. And it coincided with Dawn of War 2, luckily. So he got himself a copy of that. He said, very good. I've been looking at some reviews. It seems to be hitting some really good notes with a lot of the fans of this series. One thing that especially is the tiny, tiny amount of role-playing game elemented into it, with the fact of using war gear and being able to level up your squad. It's more of a squad
base. A bit like Warcraft 3 was, in that you had hero units who would level up and could collect items, but you couldn't change their gear, so they just padded that out more.
Each scenario that you go past, your commanders actually move on to the next one. You keep them. You move them along. There's a lot more banter between them all. They all correspond and chat to each other as they're forming their groups and going in. You can customize each one. So it seems to be a lot more closer to how it is in the actual tabletop game, where you have your particular units. Now, in the previous one, you could move about and say, right, have him have heavy gear. And it seems to be more less base building, more squad command, which is one of the reasons why I like Dawn of War, is the fact that it's my end of the scale. I've got Supreme Commander for the ultimate base and take over the whole entire side of the map with guns that you can't get near, and you would have to slowly fight your way across. Paul's favorite trick is to infiltrate my land and build this tiny, tiny little base, and it's like a virus, and he just gets bigger.
Fire base.
It gets bigger and bigger until he's got this humongous gun.
Primarily made up of Tech 2 artillery.
Yeah, very cool technique.
Well, Tech 3 artillery.
To the point where
resources.
I spend most of my time actually hunting for where it is every time I play, because it always appears somewhere.
Well, if you had brains, you'd do it to me, and then I'd have to build my own fire bases to deal with your fire base.
Yeah.
But no, Adam doesn't play it anymore.
I will do when I get my this is the back of my Mac. But yeah, back to Dawn of War. Dawn of War is the other end of the scale, where it was more in the sense of it was a base. You had your command unit, you had your armory, and you had your barracks. But the cool thing was the barracks had nobody in there. It basically was a drop pod landing zone. So really, it was just a drop zone you were defending for more people to
drop zone.
It was where your tanks got dropped off, where your troops got dropped off, and that is basically all it was. For each and every race that you played as, it was pretty much the same sort of thing.
Same thing, copy and paste, change the name, da da da.
Yeah, which made it truly more like a squad commanding game than anything else. Which you,
a glorified version of Cannon Fodder.
Cannon Fodder was a great game. I loved having that on the Mega Drive.
The music was really good, and plus the like the main menu screen with like the line of troops, and this is how many troops you've got.
They got more and more, and you would get like.
And you'd get graves as they slowly die.
And you just wanted to keep them, and they'd level up, and they're like, oh my god, Timmy just bit the dust, and
I really, you really got attached to him, didn't you?
That would be such a great game to have remade.
Nah, they screwed up.
I'd quite like it. But yeah, this one, it seems to be pushing a lot more on this. Keeping the same team and moving around. The single player is co-op as well.
Cooperative.
But there is no bases. There's none of this moving the base or a partial base
there
to get
more.
There is
no base. It is Zul.
Zul. But yeah, it does look quite impressive. It is a high-end game. Graphics wise, it's asking for a lot.
Nothing is high end compared to my computer.
Well, no, you've got a decent computer.
Yeah, not like all these noobs with their cheap 300 quid laptops. Mommy, my game won't work. Yeah. No shit. Smack.
I know it'll work on my Mac, so I just need to.
With its cheapo low end graphics card? I suppose it's better than an integrated Intel thing.
Hey, your graphics card's not too bad on it.
It's low end.
Compared to the market, yes.
Compared to the beast.
Yeah, but you can't put yours in your rucksack.
Do you want to bet?
It's a big rucksack.
I can take it apart and just leave the case here and carry it around. I'll just have all these hard drives and things hanging off of it.
Or you get a donkey.
No, dude. We have wheelbarrows nowadays.
No, you want a donkey. Call it Fred. Could be your epic donkey.
I'm not getting a donkey. Right. So we've also asked somebody else of what their opinion on Dawn of War 2 is. And this is what the Tala tag says. Although it's not Dawn of War 1, obviously. And I was at first apprehensive. For the campaign, at least, the new system is quite good, as it allows you to focus more on your 4 specialized squads rather than making many different units across a large map. And you're not always worried about making sure your base is defended from sneak attacks, as you don't have a base. This is only about 10 missions in, though, so who's to say how it pans out later? Although she does say, I would have liked to see more races to play as in the campaign, but I guess that's what expansions are for.
Yeah, they really do look like the...
Yeah, they like their expansion pack.
They're going to push back for the expansions. All I hope is that it doesn't feel like Dawn of War 1 all over again, with the expansion slowly thrown in as you went along. If they released them in the same order and the same teams, because the first expansion was only one extra race, it was the Imperial Guard.
Imperial Guard. What a bunch of flipping fascists.
Then it was the Tau.
All in favour of arresting the Imperial Guard. Motion carried.
Then you had the Tau and...
The Tau, all in favour of arresting the Tau.
Yeah, the Tau, I didn't like the Tau.
Okay, that's carried.
The Necrons.
All in favour of arresting the Necrons.
The Necrons rock, I do like the Necrons. And then the last one was the...
Necron? What the hell is a Necron? Is that some dude with a neck? And like a chronological job on it?
They actually look like Terminators. They've got kind of an Egyptian feel. They're in the sand. They're an ancient race.
They got woken up.
They're a bit pissed off, and they're kind of like, whoa, what are you doing? You're in my back garden. I planted plants there. They're dead. You're an asshole. I'm going to kill you. Oh, by the way, you killed all of my friends over there. My mate is just going to wave this orb, and they all get resurrected, and we're going to pwn you again.
Yeah, this is
and
why...
And I've got a
this
big
is why,
floating Egyptian...
Dude, can I just put the... I know you're talking about your favourite game, but can I just get this out there? One of the things which puts me off... is all these different weird groups which seem utterly unrelated, and they've all got silly names.
Yeah.
See, in StarCraft, you know, it's simple. You have the Terrans, aka human criminals that we flung off into some distant colony. You know, you have a Zerg, a bunch of insect dudes, which makes sense, and you have the Protoss. They're all cool.
Mm.
We don't have any Egyptian people coming along. We don't want Egyptians in mind. I don't want to play with ancient Egyptians. They can go back into the ground where they belong. They're dead. They shouldn't be in my futuristic space games.
And the last one, which I really wish I hadn't bought because it was just a complete waste, because it was just, I ended up playing everything that was in the last expansion. There was nothing I needed for this new one, and that was the Brotherhood, what, Sisterhood, or whatever it was called.
All in favor of arresting the sister?
Oh, no, they should just be killed.
Dude, capital punishment cannot be justified in any modern
life
society.
Life sentence.
Okay.
And
down the underground sugar mines.
The Dark Eldar. Weren't too
dark
bad.
Dark Eldar? See, that sounds cool, the Dark Eldar.
They were pretty cool.
What, are they sort of elf people?
Yeah, basically it was a
right, so we've got flipping elves and leprechauns and ancient Egyptians and Terminator.
And orcs.
It's a god.
But yeah, I can imagine.
It's like somebody took a fantasy game and decided to go ridiculous with it.
Well, it's the futuristic of Warcraft, so they kept some of the similar basis there. But it compared for the fact it's a game.
Dude,
of...
even the Draenei aren't annoying.
No, they're not.
Underground Egyptian mummies who come back to life all the time aren't my idea of good.
When you see them get played as, they are quite cool.
Is there a demo for this?
I'm not entirely sure if there's a demo for it out yet or not.
If there's a demo, I'll tell you what, I'll download it for you.
Oh, cool.
And then I'll tell you how much I hate it. I hate age gates! They're so annoying!
Is there a demo?
No.
Oh, there's a low-res trailer.
Trailer, no thanks. Demo or no deal. Sorry, no demo, no play. Let's look at the screenshots. I see an orc with like... Oh, I don't like it. I don't like it. It's ridiculous.
Does look quite cool.
Nah, it looks dated, if you ask me.
So yeah, I'm quite impressed. I imagine Gary's just going to be going nuts about it, and why didn't I buy it over the weekend tomorrow? So yeah.
Meh.
Quite impressed.
Street Fighter 4 came out.
Yeah. Now, straight away, I stepped away from Street Fighter 4 because I've owned a couple of Street Fighter games in my lifetime.
I never liked Street Fighter.
I loved Street Fighter as a kid, but I
Mortal Kombat.
I was crap at it.
Yeah,
I was rubbish at that. Mortal Kombat, I was pretty good at
Mortal Kombat.
Sub-Zero, I kicked ass.
Nobody's ever beaten me at Mortal Kombat. Apart from most of the people I know. Mortal Kombat, you know, once you're against equally good players, you know, it's a toss-up between you and really, isn't it?
Yeah. I never went back to Street Fighter 2, because at the end of the day, it was always Street Fighter 2. I did have a bit of a go with SNK versus Capcom, and Marvel versus Capcom were quite good. But I must admit, they were all out on the Xbox back in the day before the S-Controller came out, and that old, big, chunky controller for the Xbox wasn't that great for playing a Street Fighter style.
The D-pad wasn't very good on it.
And the buttons weren't very good for jabbing
buttons
a lot.
Are fine.
I found them that they made my thumbs hurt.
Dude, just reinforce your thumbs a bit.
So yeah, I think that kind of put me off from playing it, and I just never got around to wanting anything on my PlayStation 2. I did have Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo on the Game Boy Advance, which was great, but the D-pad on that, everything just went numb after a while. This one's got my attention. Graphically, it looks absolutely amazing. It is a completely new game, so it's not just like replaying the old one.
It's a beat-em-up.
Yeah.
They're all remakes of older games, aren't they?
But it was always the same game. And this just
same thing, beating some dude up on a street. Oh, sorry, it doesn't interest me.
I read a review.
Tala is now playing Warhammer 40,000, Dawn of
War.
Steam doesn't show that much. Just Dawn of.
There's a comparison on Eurogamer between the Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3.
We like high comparisons, we do.
With a video as well showing you of the comparison. But one thing I will say is the graphics on the PlayStation 3, and this is the thing that I'm really quite impressed about, hold up and stand equal with the arcade slot machine. But the Xbox 360 stands above the both, which I'm quite impressed with.
We'll just rip this off of Eurogamer.net. The PlayStation 3 version mirrors the coin op in that it's rendering its visuals without aid of anti-aliasing, whereas the Xbox 360 code gets the benefit of a more usual 2x multi-sampling edge smoothing. Both are running at an absolutely rock-solid 60 frames per second, but it's clear that Capcom had to nip and tuck the PlayStation 3 version in a number of ways to meet this goal. Key change is that the PS3 resolution isn't high definition, it's 1120 by 630. The Xbox 360 is your standard, you know, 720p.
Mm.
Plus the PS3 version lacks no AA and things like that. Load times are also mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Load times on a beatmap is just annoying. As it is, the most notable difference between the two versions has nothing to do with graphics, and it's all about the more mundane matter of loading times. 8 to 9 seconds per round on 360, double that on the PlayStation 3.
Jeez.
Thankfully, the latter version has a 10-minute optional install weighing in at just 2 gigabytes, which brings it to the same levels as the Xbox 360.
But keeping in mind, I wouldn't be surprised you can knock that up again on the Xbox 360 if you install the game on your hard drive. Which is now a new option on the new...
It doesn't say
whether that will make a difference. So yeah, I must admit, it has got my attention. And then straight away, the first thing that pops in.
It sold quite well. It gets a lot of attention from people, but...
I'm not going to spend £40 on Street Fighter 4.
Oh, Xbox 360 also boasts superior lighting and higher resolution textures on a handful of backdrops. And the characters also have additional self-shadows not seen in the PlayStation 3 version. So, obviously, the Xbox 360 is better. But, I've been saying that for years. It really pisses me off when somebody says, oh, PlayStation 3 is better, and blah, blah, blah. And I say, no, it's not. The Xbox 360 is clearly superior for doing this sort of computational work. And they say, then they pull out the whole Sony with its 2 teraflops thing, which, you know, they just took the Xbox figure and doubled it for their press conference the following day. Oh, Xbox said 1, we'll just say 2. And it's like, come on, ridiculous. And, you know, when they ask for proof, there's proof. All these comparisons, Xbox 360, 9 times out of 10, comes out ahead. Probably even more than 9 times out of 10.
But yeah, here's the thing.
Yeah, Falclaw, you're a PS3 fanboy. Wake up. Although I think Falclaw's turned to the dark side and now has a 360. Yeah, Falclaw. Who's back in the guild, by the way. It's good to have him back in the guild. Hey, Falclaw, how's it going?
Price of the game. I was expecting £40.
It's 35, 30 quid, something like that.
Well,
it's not full price. Not on retail, anyway.
On play, it's $29.99. I picked it up and was starting to have a look at the back, because the first time I got my hands on the actual real box was in Asda.
And dude, how dare you buy your games in Asda?
I wasn't buying my games, I was walking past the game section on the way to the pizzas.
Dude, how dare you buy your pizzas in Asda?
I want Domino's, but Sarah wanted it in Asda.
Nah, spending too much money.
£27.
Mm-hmm.
For either copy, and I was like, oh my god, this is more value for money.
It is a beat 'em up, dude.
Yeah, and I was
not like there's a lot of depth there.
And I was expecting them to ask for $39.99.
Well, the Uber Special Edition Limited ones are like 70 quid.
Yeah, I saw them on the internet for £59. But they do come with a DVD of the making and 2 figures and yada, yada, yada.
Oh,
that's
so awesome.
I'm not too much of a fanboy of Street Fighter 2 to get it. I must admit, the reason why I bought the last one, which is on the Xbox, was because
you're a fanboy.
It's got the animated anime movie on there, but I was a bit disappointed it wouldn't play in anything other than the
Xbox
360, and it wasn't a DVD.
Oh, that's annoying.
It wasn't a DVD. It actually was like a ROM on the...
It was actually a video on the disc.
Yeah, so it opened up and played, which meant you couldn't use the remote. The Xbox remote wouldn't work. You had to use a thing. So
that's just annoying.
I ended up just getting it.
You know.
Yeah. But,
dear Capcom, please send me a DVD of the fucking thing I want to fucking watch! Thank you.
The only one thing I am...
Dear Capcom, I have not yet received my...
Um,
please hurry up your postal delivery of this thing, which I bought.
One thing I am looking forward to is now that we've hit Street Fighter 4.
Maybe they're going to do a Street Fighter 4.
It means that the engine is there for them to maybe rethink Capcom versus Marvel, Capcom.
EA Sports, Cricket, 2009.
The Capcom versus games would be really nice in this engine, and I must admit, it looks really nice. I'm very, very tempted to get this game, because I'm going to sell
it. Oh, yeah, it looks nice, but it's, you know, it's Street Fighter.
I'm going to sell my scanner at work and see if I can get, like, 30 quid for it.
30 quid for a piece of junk scanner? You're going to laugh. Right, let's talk about a game which Adam brought to my attention.
Yep. Saw this, and straight away, the first thing that pops in my head is Paul.
What do you mean, me? I'm not interested in your military...
We missed something off the show notes. Go back to my email.
Show notes. I'm doing the show notes in a different order, don't worry.
Yeah. One thing I did notice was Lost and Damned is out.
Oh, I don't want to talk about that. It's not out, is it?
Yeah, it's out for download.
Is it out now, is it?
It's out. It's,
wow, there's been so little interest in it.
1,600 points, which... equivalent around about $13.99, which is not too bad. I must admit, it's a thing on my list I want to get.
So, Lost of the Damned is definitely out.
Yeah, it's definitely out.
Wow,
there was a big thing on the Xbox advertised.
So oh, okay. I have been on there since I've been playing.
Yeah, so it was download the game, look at the making of it, put avatars. So my avatar's in a pair of ripped jeans and a leather jacket. Now
I'll be interested to see how Xbox Live handles the strain, because I'd imagine there's quite a few people downloading it. I wonder if it handles the strain better than Steam.
The only bit of bad news I've got is, you know, I had the issue with the fact that my Xbox wouldn't work anymore because it said my credit card details
here we go.
I found out that when I did put my new details in, they actually charged me $39.99 to do that. So basically, when my when my subscriptions run out,
they charge you 40 quid for a new subscription.
Yeah, and they wouldn't let me go to silver.
Ask him not to do it, and ask him to knock you back down.
But,
dear Microsoft, for fuck's sake, stop messing about my bank account.
Yeah, it was annoying.
That's the point. I'm tempted to go back down to silver, because I never play multiplayer. I can see the last time I did multiplayer on it, and it's like you last played against somebody 300 days ago, and it's like...
Yeah. Now and again, I want to have a bash, and it's kind of annoying if I can't get on there. Sort of thing, and sometimes I just want to sit there and play multiplayer and just blow stuff up. So
I think it's I don't really do multiplayer anymore.
I think it's as late. I don't own that many great multiplayer games. I did have Rainbow, which I played with a few people. But really, at the moment, the only two I've got that I would want to play multiplayer with is Grand Theft Auto 4 and
PC. If I was going to play it, I'd get PC. Meh, Halo 3 is old.
Exactly.
Right, let's move on to the next thing. Because Lost in the Damned is like... Who cares?
Especially for you compared to this next item, which I think is quite nice.
Yeah, carry on then.
NASA secures partnership for an MMO project.
Yep, this is a game called Astronauts. Even the name is lame. It's like
Moon,
a kid's
Mars
game.
And beyond.
The moon and the Mars and beyond. Yeah, we've got astronauts traveling to Alpha Centauri. They're dead already. And for a start, it's cosmonaut, not astronaut. I take offense at your funny word. Yeah, let's just read a bit. This is from gamesindustry.biz. Our show is just reading off other sources nowadays, isn't it?
Yeah, to save people having to read while they're driving the car, they can listen to the show in the car, on their device.
Basically, the project is designed as a learning tool, and it's expected to stimulate learning at costs considerably less than regular internships. We want to create a fun, compelling gaming experience that will give players the chance to learn about science and engineering careers while they play the game. So that's cool. That's a good idea.
It's using the Unreal Engine.
Yeah, whatever. Unfortunately, it shows how absolutely backwards the United States is if they have to resort to releasing games to try and get kids to go into science and engineering.
And to want to join NASA.
Well, not even joining. Join Lockheed Martin or somebody. You know, get some engineers out there. Just don't join Boeing. They suck. At least Lockheed Martin built decent rocket engines. Right. NASA is committed to attracting more students to science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. Fields of study and careers. That's sort of a weird breakdown. We hope this game will inspire players to consider those careers. So yeah, this is basically like America's Army, only civilian.
Yeah. But I must admit, for you, if it's something that, as long as it's not a paid-for subscription, or unless it might be any good, I imagine it's kind of like interesting of being able to...
I don't understand what they're going to do in the game. Are you going to be an astronaut? Are you going to be an engineer? Do I get to design my own rocket and see how many times it explodes?
Do a Google search for astronaut, moon, Mars, and beyond.
I'm not going to do a Google search, just to spite you. I'm going to use my new search engine, which is Yahoo. It's this new thing. It's so cool.
Yahoo!
Oh my god, look at the website.
If you break your computer doing this, don't blame me.
Screw you.
There you go.
Nope, screw it. I'm going old school.
AOL.com. You've just signed up for 2 years of AOL.
Look,
no, you have not. It's just subscribed you.
Nerds! Look how similar the websites are. If I go to Yahoo and AOL, they're like almost identical.
You're actually clicking between the two.
Yeah. They're like identical. It's ridiculous, right? Even though AOL is powered by Google, their website looks exactly the same as Yahoo. Right, let's get rid of AOL. No, let's go super old school computer.
Is that still running?
I have no idea.
Computer with a little button, powered by it's powered by Google.
Computer powered by Google. Let's get this crap out of here. Let's do the NASA website. Let's just look at that one as well. So NASA website, blah blah blah.
Cool.
Hang on, this isn't about the game, this is about their actual new thing they have to do. Yeah, it's all the same. Yeah, there's nothing about it really. So yeah, they're doing a game about it. Who knows what you're going to do in it. If you have to design rockets and stuff like that, that's cool. But they've already got rockets. You know, the Ares 5 is being built, so they don't need any engineers for that, because it's already being done. You know, sure, Mars mission, they might want to have a bigger rocket, but I'd just use 2 or 3 Ares rockets, so, you know, I don't know. It's just a shame. I know, next week we're going to have a religious game, which converts people to religion and away from the evil science and engineering nerds with their tinkering projects.
Yep.
God, right. Let's move on. The Nintendo DSi has been announced.
Yep,
well,
and is on
pre-order. Price and date has been announced.
HMV seems to be doing really well on pre-orders. They seem to be taking in quite a lot, so it shows an interest, as they've been quite
a lot.
Where
did you get that from?
I've been reading. It's weird, isn't it?
Well, that's all right, because we've got loads of pre-orders as well.
It's game been taking quite a lot.
Well, it's £150, so automatically that's a bit on the steep side.
Straight away,
considering
you know
it's got
be...
about £5 worth of electronics in there. In addition,
myself, it's not the console I'm interested in; it's the games that are going to be specifically designed for. I'm going to see if are they going to be releasing some games that will have the camera features and stuff like that. Have they announced anything yet? Because to be honest, there isn't anything that makes me want to buy it. And straight away, it says, oh, you can download this thing and you can surf the internet because it's already got the memory card slot.
Surf the internet on this tiny little screen.
I have an iPhone. I have no need for that. So straight away, if I buy it, it's a downgrade. I'm paying for a downgrade because they've got rid of the Game Boy Advance slot.
Yeah,
and
which
I have
you
quite,
use as your nerdy
I've got quite a
old
few
school
game
collection.
Yeah. So straight away it's a downgrade for me, so I'm not exactly feeling it at the moment. But I know a lot of people will be doing the same thing they did when the Light came out, where they'll be trading in their old school one for the new one.
Yeah, well, a couple of retailers are doing some offers like that. Game are doing like you can trade in an old DS Lite and get it for half price.
Yeah.
So that's not too bad, but it's still quite a steep upgrade.
I must admit, it's not too bad if, for argument's sake, you have the old one, and you do not have any Game Boy Advance games. You never went to the Light.
Well, a lot of people are in that situation, aren't they?
Yeah, and they're thinking, well, I never went for the Light because I can't be bothered. Oh, this is a bit more interesting. It might be worth it. It does have a larger pen in it. The pen has been extended, so it's a larger stylus compared to the standard DS and the old school one. So Yeah, there's some upgrade. Bigger screen. 152 pricey. Bigger screen, better microphone. I must admit, if all you play is dogs and you're constantly trying to yell at the thing and, you know, things like that, and you're thinking of buying a new DS and you want Brain Train with this new microphone, imagine Brain Train where you're going red, blue, no, green. It's going to pick up that. You're not going to have the thing right up against your face. So technologically,
unless, of course, you've got advanced. Your kids screaming in the background.
Yeah. It's been advanced a lot more with screen, microphone, and the speaker system and the size of it have all been changed. But of what I'm actually going to do with it, it will be a downgrade to me. But it does look quite nice. It's nice that Nintendo are still advancing their hardware further and foremost.
Yep, Sony have... I'll just say the DSi is out in UK on the 3rd of April.
Mm-hmm.
150 quid?
Yeah. I like the whole 100 quid for a DS price.
Yeah, 100 quid is a good price.
Yeah.
I mean, even if they release it at 130 now and drop it to like 100 quid at Christmas.
Yeah.
But 150 is...
steep.
Yeah. Sony have responded, of course, like Sony always do, by releasing more colours.
And a new name.
What's a new name?
PSP 3000.
That's what the name is already.
Was it? I always thought it was called the PS Slim Lite thing.
No, the 3000 is a new model.
Oh, right.
Oh, my God. Have you brought up a two-year-old article for us?
No. I was actually just looking at the...
Is this current?
It's on the front of your company's website.
Okay, then. I'll let you off.
But they just call it that. Now, straight away...
Why would that be on Microsoft's website? I'm a Microsoft MVP.
Straight away, it was a name, and it was just kind of like...
I'm also a sales monkey, but what difference does that make?
PSP 3000. The PSP 3000. It hoovers, cleans, and mops your floor.
Well, no, the Slim and Light is now called the 2000.
What I've got.
Everyone still calls it Slim and Light. What? The original one?
I don't have the original one. I got rid of that. I've got the Slim and Light. I've got the 2000.
Slim and Light, then. Yeah. Yeah, the 3000 was released just before Christmas. 150 quid with a game bundle as well.
Oh, right. Is there any difference in it?
They shaved another half millimeter off the back.
Yeah.
Screen might be a bit brighter, maybe.
Yeah. Yay, fun. I just threw that in there because they were throwing the advertisement right next to it.
What colours are they doing now?
Red.
Red?
Something else.
Okay.
I wasn't that caring. I've got a black
Adam
one.
Adam does a fantastic job researching for that particular...
I wasn't doing it for the colours. It was just the fact it's in a whole new section of colours.
Anyway,
that's their response.
Dude, let's move on to the epic Uber news item this week. At least for me.
Yeah.
I always put my news item at the very last thing, because I like to do that. Anyway, Empire Total War was released on... What day was I at work today? Friday? Yeah, Friday it was. Released on Friday at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And Steam went...
Explosion.
Yep. I finally managed to download the 2 gigabytes of the demo by about 10 o'clock the following night. I then had the fun of playing the game. And, I mean, during this time of waiting for that demo to come down, I was flipping through all the different Steam servers, trying to get a good server with some speed on it. But in the meantime, I was looking on the Steam forum, seeing what people were saying, and there were loads of people commenting about the load times. So I was like, eh, they probably got crap computers. I mean, we've all been used to really short load times lately, because we haven't really had any games which have been pushing our systems, have we? I mean, when I think back to Doom 3 and Supreme Commander and games like that, which were released and were quite heavy, they only had 30, maybe 40 second load times.
Yeah.
This game has quite substantial load times in the order of 1 or 2 minutes. Even like just changing the options, it redoes the whole graphics engine.
Whoa.
So if I just switch it into windowed mode, bang, that's 2 or 3 minutes, it's sat there. If I then change the resolution, because you can't change both at the same time, that's another 2 or 3 minutes as it reinitializes the graphics engine. So there are loads of annoying things like that, but I mean, the load times for a battle aren't too bad, considering, yeah, you'll probably play a battle for an hour or two.
Mm.
You know, a couple of minutes. You know, it's not like a Spectrum, where, you know, you load it, you go and watch the television, and you come back, and hopefully it's finished. So yeah, load times are quite bad. That was the initial reaction. A lot of people thought the game had crashed, because it would... the first screen showed a copyright notice. And because the application was loading so heavily, it wasn't responding to Windows in time, so Windows thought the application had hung. And so a lot of people were closing it, thinking it had actually crashed. And then they were saying Rome Total, no, they were saying Empire Total War crashes. Of course, if they just, you know, sit there and let it load instead of interrupting it, they'll see it doesn't. So there's a lot of issues like that. There are also some bugs in the demo. It's crashed a desktop twice on me, but I think I worked out why. If you do a naval battle and then do a land battle, that's the only situation where I've had a crash. So if I restart Empire Total War, the crash doesn't seem to happen. But it seems to be like a really random, just like I said, it's only happened twice.
So most likely a bug for the demo. Yeah,
demo bug. Performance otherwise isn't too bad. I mean, my system is fairly high end, although it's like last gen graphics card still, and it is 4 gig of RAM. The CPU is 2.5 years old, although it's still a Core 2 Duo.
The graphics look really nice on it. I must admit, the grass gives a nice element.
Oh yeah, it uses Speed Tree, which is the same technology they have in Oblivion to do all the trees and stuff like that. So they're using, you know, proven technology. The graphics are fantastic for a real-time strategy game. You know, there's nothing else which compares to it graphically. Frame rate, I mean, I've got everything running on high. Or is it ultra? Whatever they call the highest setting. It's on the highest setting. Land battles are a bit sluggish on that setting for my machine, in that when you zoom into the grass and pan, you know, it's not as smooth as... The frame rate's probably 20 frames per second. But when you zoomed out a bit, you know, it's smooth and you can whiz the camera around. Naval battles perform really well. There's no slowdown in that at all.
But considering it is just boats sat on top of a water engine, there is no...
There's no trees.
And there's no land. Well, fair enough, there might be some ones where you're near the edge of the water and stuff like
that. Yeah, and then you crash your ships. I think I swallowed my mouth. Right, anyway, in the demo, there's a land battle and a naval battle. There's also tutorial missions, which are really lame and ridiculous and too easy.
For both?
Yep, for both. It teaches you how to move your ship and to move the camera.
Move the ship?
Move the camera. Tutorial finished. Please play the game.
Indeed, right. So I'll start off with the land battles. What can I say? Well, in the demo, you play as the British, which gets the thumbs up, because I don't want to play as a separatist. If you notice my recent blog post I've done on this, I made lots of jiving remarks at the rebels and the separatists. I hope nobody like takes offence at that. It's just, you know, I role play my games, okay? I'm in the mindset of a British commander trying to put down these scumbags. Anyway, the battle itself is the Battle of Brandywine Creek, which is one of the battles which took place in 1777 or 78. It was when the British, just before the British captured Philadelphia. And so you're crossing the river, they've got tons of artillery on the other side, the Americans. And, you know, it seems quite difficult, but the demo is really easy. The AI did some really dumb things when I played it through before, and it charged all its infantry at me. You know, it could just sit there and wait as its artillery slowly wears me down. But no, it frontal assault against all my dudes, which were lined up already in defensive positions, and the Americans just cut themselves to bits. So there's a few question marks over the AI in this game. I mean, I don't know if that was deliberate, like a deliberate thing for the demo to make it retarded. But it doesn't exactly fill people confidence when, you know...
You're kicking ass all the time.
No, I mean, charging forward at that point is suicide.
Yeah. No, I mean, you're kicking ass because the AI is being stupid.
I mean, it's suicidal. Suicidal AI. So the land battle's alright. It's plays similar to Medieval, minus, you know, castles and sieges and stuff like that. There's no skirmish mode at the moment, so I can't really say, because this is like a preset scenario and stuff like that. So it's hard to say how the AI will pan out in that sort of...
Age of Empires 3 was touching on a similar time period.
Age of Empires 3 was the same time frame, yeah.
A comparison between the two games?
Totally different games.
Totally different games.
Empire Total War is turn-based with real-time strategy battles if you want to play them.
Yeah.
Age of Empires 3, let's face it, plays the same as Age of Empires 1. Except they introduced those stupid cards where you can order things from your home cities. So, you know, Age of Empires, you build one infantryman you build another one, and you have two infantrymen. In this game, you know, you have...
You start with your thing. It's not about building, it's about having your army.
Yeah, you don't have a base. Although there are things you can capture in, like, town halls and things like that.
Yeah.
But they don't do anything.
Yeah.
They're just, like, defensive positions and...
Yeah, somewhere to hide your head behind.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that sounds pretty cool.
Naval battles is where it really shines, because nothing else has been done like this before.
Mm.
And yeah, the naval battles are cool. There's a lot of issues I have with it.
The boats turning in the water.
Yeah.
The
boats can literally turn on the spot. Yeah. And they can like do a 180 degree turn inside of 20 seconds. Which, you know, if in real life, they couldn't do that.
It'd be nice to see if there's kind of like, that's there for the ease of the game. And then if you could play on like the harder level, it will get rid
of
that.
I would like an option to turn it off. Because at the moment, it doesn't penalise you whatsoever for screwing up.
Yeah.
If you get on the wrong side
of a boat and you're kind of like, you're going into the wind, you can't turn around quick enough, and the whole front of your boat gets broadsided by the boat you were trying to get round on, all because of that mistake of turning too quickly into the wind.
Because you're only out of position for 20 seconds, and the load time is only about 30 seconds, doesn't mean load times aren't realistic either.
Because
it would take, you know, a good couple of minutes to reload a gun. It doesn't penalise you. You know, you screw up, you put your ships into the wrong position, but you can quickly spin them round if you need to get your guns on a target quickly.
And if you want to get back into the wind quickly to follow after someone.
Yeah, so again, if... Obviously, this is a demo, so it's hard to say how many options they'll have and things like that. I suppose I could look through the config files and see what options I can find. The unit sizes in the demo are quite small, though. Naval battle, you only had 6 ships. Apparently, you'll be able to have a lot more ships in the final game. And the land units are also very small. I mean, I had my squad of grenadiers, and there was only 80 of them.
I suppose for the size of the game... Oh, why, really? Sorry, I apologise.
Are you saying I'm boring?
No.
I'm really excited about this game. This game has really impressed me.
File size. This was a downloaded demo.
It's 2 gigabytes.
Yeah. So for the size of the game is, I wouldn't be surprised they had to cut a lot of the fat off to get a decent working demo. So I wouldn't be surprised there's a lot you're missing from the actual gameplay.
Well, of course there's a lot I'm missing, but why are the unit sizes so small?
Yeah.
You know, it medieval in Rome, you had thousands of units.
It's a flavour and a test, I suppose.
I want more stuff.
You're definitely going to be getting this then.
Yes, I would get the Special Forces Edition as well to get the elite units.
Cool.
Because Special Forces comes with, you know, HMS Victory and a bunch of other fancy things. Which...
Yeah, that sounds pretty cool. I think that's the thing. They've proven again that they can take a game structure and redesign it each time, not because it makes the game better, but because it fits the subject matter better. And it is a completely different style of gameplay, because it is about, it's similar to Dawn of War, where it's not about base building, it's about your squads. Dawn of War is fictional, this is trying to be realistic.
It's not trying to be realistic.
Flavouring realism.
The naval battle they had, the Battle of Lagos, or Lagos, however you pronounce it. In real life, the British had twice as many ships as the French. In the game, the French has got one additional ship.
It was a demo.
But it's not realistic.
Yeah.
I want to outnumber the French 2-1. Because those are odds I like. Until, of course, the French Revolution happens and I start playing as the French.
Yeah.
You know, I'll be dead in the deep earth before I raise that old crappy French flag and not the tricolour. You know. Anyway. So yeah, the final game is out on the 4th of March. Week and a half away, basically. You can buy it on Steam and pay an extortionate price for it, but get it about 6 hours early. Because Steam unlocks on the night of Tuesday. Or you can just buy it from anywhere else for like a reasonable price.
I have to get up early in the morning to go buy it.
Yeah, I'm probably going to have to do that. I will, because I am not buying it on Steam for 40 quid.
It also depends on how long it takes
to
download.
That's for the normal edition. Where you, on Steam, you can start downloading it 48 hours early. They have like a preload. Otherwise, their servers would explode.
Yeah.
But they've done it with like all their releases. They can preload it, so you can get it downloaded beforehand, and then at the set time, it just unlocks so you can play it. But yeah, I still, you know, 40 quid. They're on Planet Nutjob.
Yeah.
Steam is so expensive. I was haven't looked down at it. It's, you know, it's like the full-on retail prices.
Mm.
Except for, you know, they occasionally had an offer a week or two ago for Left 4 Dead half price, and you know, retail is half price anyway.
Yeah.
You know, at least you get a box and a disc, so you don't have to download the whole thing as well.
I must admit,
especially when so many people's connections nowadays are, you know, limited internet.
Yeah. I must admit, if you had a good internet, but you were in the middle of nowhere or something, which is quite a hard thing to have, good internet, middle of nowhere.
If I didn't work at Game, no, screw it, it's so much cheaper. I'd still buy it.
You know, if you live somewhere where you were, if you had to get it on mail and you had to wait for the box to arrive, and it was a bit of a journey to go actually go pick it up.
Yeah, but even in that case, when you have to wait for it to, like, if it's posted to you,
mm.
they post it several days before the release date anyway, so...
I can't see a situation, unless your postal service is really crap because you are in the middle of nowhere.
We're in the United Kingdom, dude. We have a good postal service in this country.
Unless you live in Wales.
Same.
It slows down in Wales, trust me. It takes... amount of things it took forever to get through to us when I lived in Wales compared to England.
Same thing, same organisation.
Oh, it's the same organisation, it's just slower. Nothing against the Welsh.
In Northumberland, the postal service is slow. No, dude, it's the same speed as anywhere else. Maybe you've just annoyed your postman and he chucked your stuff out. Oh, is this for number 17? I'll chuck that out.
Well, they did nick my copy of Lord of the Rings. That never arrived.
Yeah, that's probably because it got wet and fell down a drain. Yeah, stop it. The postal service is one of the great pillars of this country. So
oh, yeah, don't knock it. I don't want it to change. It's bloody good. Apart from the fact they keep closing down all our post shops.
Yeah, I have to walk into town to send something now. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I know. The one at the top of the road's closed. It was annoying. Fair enough, I only ever used it to get my tax disc from a bike. Apart from that, I never really used it.
Well, what they should do, they should nationalise all the banks and use the post office as a front end for those banks.
You want to go tell them that? Well, that's a good idea.
I'm sure they've had people tell them that already. Because it's such a blatantly... nationalise, you know, we put all this money in, let's just finish it off and take them over. Then we can reopen all the post offices with all this money we've got from all the banks. And, you know...
Well, hey.
When the revolution comes, comrade, that's what we will do. The post office will be a front end to the Bank of Britain.
And it's the right colour as well.
Yeah, red is a nice colour. Well, Britain's always had red as a colour, you know, the red coats and...
Hmm. Well, I just kind of thought red was kind of a good communist colour. The Chinese use it, and, well, it's a lucky colour for them, and the Russians used it, so I just presumed red was a good communist colour.
Red has always been the colour of socialism and stuff like that. It was first used on... female-dominated pirate ships, I believe. They had a red flag. They were just, you know...
Oh, never knew that.
Hmm. Back in the day.
Gamercast, an educational program for all you listeners.
Well, if you want to talk... Sure. Ask me a question. Any topic.
Nah, my mind's blank.
Topics I know about.
My mind's even blanker. I spent most of the day trying to work out why my PC won't network with my Mac. And I ended up giving up, so I was like, Sarah, can I borrow your portable hard drive? Which was much easier.
Adam, it's not hard.
It was easy on XP, I just couldn't get... It just kept wanting to do the home group thing.
Just disable home group and tell it to use the normal NTFS permissions.
Yeah, I couldn't even find that. Didn't know where to click.
Start.
Okay, start.
Network.
Network.
Network and sharing center.
Okay, got that far.
Right, see this?
Yeah.
Change advanced sharing settings.
Oh, I didn't go into that.
Here we go. There's your home group, or use the old school.
Because
I don't know how home group works. I never turn it on because...
It's like...
I'm not a reject.
Idiot's guide to networking.
It's not even idiot's guide. You just turn it on and it works.
Yeah, you turn it on, you create it, you say what files you want to do, then you go to another one, do the same thing, and it gives you a little piece of paper on your screen saying, type this in on that computer, type it in, works.
It's like networking for idiots.
Yeah.
I know how to network at old school. I'm one of those people who managed in Windows 95, because in Windows 95 you changed any of the network options, because you didn't have like DHCP and things like that back in those days.
Mm.
You had to manually sign on your IPs, your subnet, etc., so your gateways, especially if you're using the internet. You had to do all that manually, and every change you made required a reboot.
Ouch. Old school days.
Yeah. You couldn't just restart the networking stack. You had to restart the whole computer.
Wonderful.
Back in the day.
Back in the day.
Nerding out with Red Alert. Reporting. Yes, sir.
We were doing the whole classic of LAN networks of Quake 2 on Windows 95. That was great.
Yeah, Quake 2 was good. I preferred it to Quake 1, actually. Mm. A lot of people who got into it early preferred Quake 1 because it was a lot faster. I thought Quake 2 had much better maps. You know, there's some really nice maps in Quake 2, especially when they released a big 30 megabyte map pack. Mm. 30 megabyte on dial-up. I need this map pack.
It was quite good for networking because we used to use the Yeovil College network as for LAN.
I had my house or Global Surf and Shoot along Princess Street.
Yeah. Always great. Back in the day, before broadband.
Yeah, it's broadband. What a joke.
I remember playing Dark Forces 2 Jedi Knight and...
Old school.
And MechWarrior 3 on dial-up.
What about that Star Trek game where you were a Klingon?
Oh, that first-person shooter one, a similar engine sort of thing.
I played a demo of that. I think I used the Quake 2 engine as well. Quake 2 engine was actually more popular.
Yeah.
And so Unreal and all that lot came out.
Yeah. You need to make another MechWarrior game. Who remembers MechWarrior? MechWarrior rocks.
Me. I used to play MechWarrior 4 with Catherine.
We used to play a lot of Mechassault as well on the Xbox.
Yeah, Mechassault wasn't as good though, is it?
No, it wasn't as good. It was quite good for, you know, on the headsets, running around and shooting. But I remember the day of, like, overdoing my mech to the point that if...
You fire it and it overheats.
Yeah. And I used to just sit in the lake and then stick my head up and go, vroom, 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 dead, shut down. And I would have someone shooting from over the rise, and they would hide behind there. And they could see the mech team coming around the corner. They would power up. And because they powered up, it would jump on their radar. So they'd go straight to them, completely walk past me. So as soon as I can see this blurriness coming through the water, I would power everything up, stand up, and I would outflank them. And I could just take them out one at a time.
I'm reinstalling MechWarrior 4.
I never had MechWarrior 4. I wish I'd got it. I had MechWarrior 3.
I had 4 and Mercenaries.
I had MechWarrior 3. But I only had MechWarrior 3. I didn't have any of the expansion packs. And I had MechWarrior 2, the original game. That's where I came into it on MechWarrior 2.
Oh my god. I've just come up with the most awesome idea.
What?
A mod for Empire Total War. Where you can summon a mech. In your face, noobs!
What was it?
That would be so awesome. You just summon this dude and it pwns everything. The little musket balls just bounce off.
The MechWarrior first expansion pack, where it was kind of like in the snow, and then the one that created for the one you had, which was MechWarrior 2 Mercenaries, where I had to go into onto a map, and I was like, right, I can afford to repair my leg or reload my missile launchers. So I went into the match hopping with missiles and blew up. And the amount of times I just kept... It's like, I keep running out of money, for Christ's sake. Give me the old days when I used to fight for an army and they would reload me.
They would pay for it.
Yeah. Great concept, though. I absolutely love that game.
Yeah, brilliant stuff.
And the whole being...
Nothing to do with Empire Total War, though.
No.
Which is why we're obviously talking about it.
I just wanted to bring that in, though, because I just miss MechWarrior.
I'll tell you what, I'll put it on the show notes. MechWarrior rules.
Yeah. I have my copy of MechWarrior 3 somewhere. Yeah.
I'm going to install it because, you know, you can use the joystick and, well, you had to use the joystick to get most out of it.
Yeah.
It's, you know, really cool. Yeah, I'm pre-installing it once this finishes.
Sweet. Rock on. Right.
That is pretty much it, I think.
Yeah.
That's all the stuff on your little thing, Frank.
If I do get someone to buy my...
If I do get somebody to buy me Dawn of War.
Yeah.
Sarah, you know it's my birthday tomorrow.
It's payday on Tuesday, so...
Maybe, if you've still got some money left by the end of Tuesday.
Yeah, either Dawn of War or Street Fighter 4.
Dawn of War.
Yeah, Dawn of War's top of my list.
You know you want that old school. Pew, pew, and not the old school.
Dun, 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 dun. Daioken!
Yeah, okay, Adam.
Great. Right.
Are you available next Sunday?
Yes, I am.
And then we will be back next Sunday, which is the 1st of March.
1st of March.
Well, hey.
Waka, waka, waka.
So we will catch everyone next week.
Laters.